You're listening to Morning Edition on Red River Radio. It's Tuesday, and once again, Gary Joyner is with us. And this week, he remembers back to October 1962 and a fear that gripped the nation and the world.
In October of 1962, the most dangerous episode of the Cold War played out every evening on the national news. America and the Soviet Union played a game of chicken, and the world held its breath, wondering if there would be a tomorrow. For 13 days, the American public awakened each day, anxious to read the paper and watch the news. There was a real threat to the tenuous Cold War peace, and they sought any news that would give them comfort and help them to prepare, possibly, for their last day on Earth. The United States had discovered that the Soviet Union had imported nuclear-tipped missiles to Cuba, only 90 miles south of Key West, Florida. The range of these missiles would allow them to reach Washington, D.C., and they were certainly within range of an attractive Louisiana target, Barksdale Air Force Base. I recall thinking that this might be it. The nuclear attack that everyone dreaded might really happen. Those of us who were children during the Cold War grew up with the very real possibility of attack by the Russians. We saw people building underground fallout shelters to help them survive nuclear attacks. We saw basements in government buildings bearing the fallout shelter symbol of three inverted yellow pyramids inside a black circle. In October 1962, the duck and cover drills that we had performed at school seemed to gain relevance in our lives. President John F. Kennedy's advisors were lobbying him to attack Cuba, but they could not assure him that all the missiles could be destroyed before one launched against us. The Soviet Union threatened to attack the United States if we attacked its ally, Cuba. Tensions in Europe escalated rapidly, with the Russians threatening to invade Western Europe, setting a prelude for World War III. From air reconnaissance, it appeared that some of the missile batteries were under construction and others were fully functional. Courageous pilots flying sophisticated U-2 spy planes and low-level U.S. F-8 Crusader fighters provided photos of the assembly of the missile launchers. Some of these pilots lost their lives attempting to gather the information critical to the president's decision. Some of these images were shared with the American public and with the world, and they played a huge part in forming world opinion about the activities in Cuba. In this new age of television, Americans watch television as families. Yes, even children watch the news. My family joined other Americans who were glued to their sets each night, waiting to see the latest reconnaissance photos, which today can be seen in the National Archives. Kennedy elected for a measured response, a blockade of all Russian ships attempting to land in Cuba with weapons and supplies. As it turned out, it was the appropriate action. Although the Russians tried to paint a different picture, there was no doubt that they were the aggressors. This measured response was, perhaps, the defining act of Kennedy's presidency. Cuba, which was already isolated following Fidel Castro's communist revolution, became a virtual island fortress. The United States imposed strict economic and travel embargoes on the island, which remain today, though not as strict or at such a heightened level. As the Soviet Union was dismantled, Cuba lost many of its important trade ties with the former communist giant, and it remains today as an anachronism, a thoroughly communist country without the ties to its ideological mother. A reasonable question might be, was the U.S. prepared to defend against these missiles? The answer, at least marginally, is yes. The major strategic air command bases, like Barksdale, were defended by Nike Hercules missile batteries. Originally, there were to be four separate missile bases guarding Barksdale, but only two were built. Each had a battery of from 8 to 12 nuclear-tipped anti-missile missiles. One was located in northern DeSoto Parish near Stonewall on Missile Base Road, and the other was in Bossier Parish near the Bodcaw Lake Dam. The remaining buildings take us back to the Cold War and that fateful October, both of which remind us that history matters.
Commentator Gary Joyner is an associate professor of history at LSU Shreveport, and he joins us every Tuesday morning at 7:35. You can listen to and download his commentaries from our website at redriverradio.org. Morning Edition continues here on Red River Radio.